I find the coincidence is too uncanny.
I think the only other time I was hospitalized was for circumcision. Usually when you have divine blessings from a god, it doesn't come for free.
My old hung was actually haunted.
A spirit who says it's not your time to die.
Even deities are not to interfere in a person's karma or fate unless a higher force allows it.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
It is said that if it's your time to die, no matter what you do to avoid it, the Reaper will claim what is rightfully his. The opposite then must be true for those whose time is not yet up. In this episode, we bring you confessions from people who were in situations where a miracle had taken place. This is their Supernatural Confessions. And our guest with us is someone who has had a near-death experience himself and lived to tell the tale. That's Eugene Au, who was our confessor on a previous episode. Let's get on with the show.
We're going to have a lot of questions for Eugene Au later, but I think right now, let us start with our very first confession, read by the second sexiest man of Supernatural Confessions.
Voila.
Jonathan. Wait, John. This is God's son to an underworld god confession by YK.
When I was younger, I would fall sick very easily. I had many close calls with death from an early age. I remember going in and out of the hospital many times growing up. You see the number of medicines I'm supposed to eat each day? Also, you'll be shocked. When I was around 13 years old, I fell terribly ill. My lungs had flooded and I could drown by my own phlegm. My temperature wouldn't go down and I was at risk of getting brain damage. And the risk of any surgery was extremely high because my body might not be able to take it or recover. And doctors said I need to prepare for more complications. At this point, it's like asking me which way I choose to die. Out of desperation, my parents went to every temple to pai-pai, locally and even overseas, based on recommendations from concerned relatives and random neighborhood aunties. One night, while lying in ICU and running a high temperature, I heard everything went silent and can only hear the jangling sounds of chains coming closer and closer, at first from outside my room, and then the sound came from inside. There was the smell of something burning as well. Then I saw an old man sitting by my bed, putting his hand on my head. I felt a sense of peace and comfort. And then he asked if I know him. I said, "Yes, you are my godfather." He smiled and said everything will be okay. I closed my eyes and fell asleep. Probably properly for the first time that I can remember. When the doctors came by to check on me the next few days, they were surprised that I'm recovering well. A week later, I was discharged from the hospital with a clean bill of health. The doctors called it a miracle. For the next many years growing up, I grew stronger and stronger. But I also started getting more and more dreams. I always saw the same old man in my dreams, walking beside me. Eventually, it got so frequent and common that I didn't really think about it too much. And when I finally got married on my 33rd birthday, the dream stopped appearing. It was not until during my wedding planning that my parents and my fiancé, now my wife, started talking about childhood secrets. That's when I learned that when they were praying for me, three of the temple masters they visited had said, "I will only be okay if I take on the hell deity Diape as my godfather." So you combine what they had said with the dream in the hospital that I had, and mind you, this was something I was never told, so it's not something I had talked about. I find the coincidence is too uncanny. 20 years later, hearing this story again sent shivers down my spine and brought me back to that night in the hospital bed. I don't quite know what it means now that I no longer see my godfather in my dreams. But what I'm told is that such divine favors don't come for free. So who knows what's going to happen next? That's intense. That is very intense. Okay. All right. Come. As our guest, Eugene Au, what's your thoughts?
It's very interesting to hear this kind of story, you know, in ICU, because, you know, in ICUs, when you are sick, you can experience many weird things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we really believe that, you know, is it really when we are sick, like we saw the things or we are hearing things, is it real? Or, you know, we just, because of what we are experiencing, we are sick, we cannot, you know, we just imagine or whatever case it is. So, you know, this kind of thing is very hard to explain, because I believe if for those of you that never went into ICUs or this kind of thing, it's very hard for you to understand, you know, like what we have went through and, you know.
Right.
So sometimes even our patient as ourselves, we so can't, you know, tell what it's like, is it what is true, what is not true. So, yeah, so I mean, because I am a patient myself, I hear a lot of things when I was in ICU, so I do believe his story, what he has experienced, is true.
You know, I Eugene, when we were playing your confessions, that was what John was saying. You know, you might be sick, you might be doped up on medicine, and I was here defending you. No, what he experienced was true. And now you come and go like, yeah, you know sick people and all that.
Because Eugene is very practical and very rational, right? In fact, just before the show we were talking, right? And I was asking him about our favorite bit of his confession from that week, right? When Belinda and I were obsessed with what was that machine that Eugene thought was talking to him, right? So just now I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, it was probably because it had a blinking light, you know, and all that, you know, that it felt like it was trying to reach out to him. But he probably imagined.
See,
it.
Eugene, so I'm there, backing you up, saying it must be the hantu.
Right, Eugene versus Eugene today. Oh, no, but okay. So for me, right? Okay. There are two different aspects of this, right? There's the dream, okay, about the Godfather, right? And then there's the part before the dream, where he heard the chains. Right, that started outside and then started coming inside, which is very similar to what you described from your experience in the ICU, right? You know, and so I wonder whether that is a common experience, not imagining but rather heightening senses, you know, and the sounds become clearer, and then the distance also is hard to tell, right? Because you're not really conscious. Somehow you've been lying there for how long, your spatial awareness all is upside down already, you know, so you can't really tell what is outside, what is inside sometimes, you know. And so I'm wondering how much of that is a common occurrence, you know, that we are disoriented when we're lying in bed, you know. Eugene, have you been extensively hospitalized before for any period of time?
Which Eugene talking about?
Eugene, I'll confirm had this one got. So yeah, this one is for Eugene Tay.
Yeah, I dislike hospital with, you know, a lot of prejudice. And even when my son was born and my wife was in hospital, I was only glad to not be able to stay overnight. You know, when the nurse said, oh, you got to go home, Mr. Tay. Oh, thank God. Oh, really? I need to go? Oh, you know what, sweetheart? Sorry, I got to go. But actually, it's like, okay, hospital, the GTFO, right?
Right.
And I think the only other time I was hospitalized was for circumcision. Other than that, nothing at all, man. Really.
Okay, no hantu wants to go near that.
No, I don't like being in hospital. I've been in hospital before to visit people, and I don't like being there. And also, when I went to see my fortune, I was told two things: avoid going to hospital and avoid attending funerals.
Wow.
Yeah, these two things.
Wow, life is conspiring to give you excuses. Okay. That's fantastic. Like, why you never visit me in hospital? I cannot. My fortune, my fate.
Sorry, lah, bro.
Yeah, because my fortune tell me cannot.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, okay, so let's talk about the update for a moment, right? I think let's lay some groundwork, okay, for those of you who don't know, right? So he talked about those three masters that the parents went to, and what and the deal that they apparently were offered, lah, right, was that if you give your son to the Jia Pei as a as a godson, right? He will protect, right? Mm. So tell us who this dia pe is.
Oh, the black and white. Hei Bai Wu Zhang. Hell deities. One black, one white. You see,
so the senior one, the one that's considered, he's called Tua Ape, which is sort of big uncle, right? Mm. A very, very simple translation, big uncle. Mm. So that's the one in black, who is normally the fierce one, right? And then the one who is younger and generally considered more sympathetic to people, right, is
I thought the black one second is Tua Ape.
No, the black one is Tua Ape.
Mm. Ooh,
the frightening one. Sometimes he's also shown as shorter. I think there's a
he's definitely shorter. Yeah, he's hunched and shorter. Yeah.
Yeah, this one makes them look quite equal, but usually if they're drawn as a pair, you know. So yeah, so Diape is the black one, right? And because when I was about a couple of years ago, I used to visit this Hell God Temple in Geylang, you know, and it was those people who reminded me about the difference between them, because there's a medium there who were tiao dang lah, right? So he will, you know, every Friday night, all right, he will invite the hell gods to take over, and then he will, you know, give advice and stuff like that. And he can do both. They have two sets of costume hanging there, black and white, right? So I asked, so who usually comes when you are summoned? And he says, oh, you pray that it's the white one, because he will come and give advice. When the black one comes, he wants to scold people.
Yeah. But really, I think the white is older. Imagine Malayans also telling, white is older, black is number two.
Is white older? Oh, okay.
I remember
okay.
The Diape is the one of the patron deities that I have spoken with as well. And I was told that he's the second one. But you were right on one thing, right? That he is very, he is very calm when he arrives. So
so it's the younger one that is fierce.
Younger one is very fierce. And you know what? Level 5 usually comes, level 8, level 7 sometimes as well, occasionally. Mm. But the level 8 one is where you don't want to meet, because when he comes down, it's all fire and brimstone, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you had done anything wrong and you are in front of him asking for favors, you were kena. Tua Ape, the white one, or some cases the green one, is a bit more kindly.
Right. I realize now that I must be the victim of stereotypes, because I'm always imagining the black one is the fierce one, right? And it therefore fierce means senior.
There's also the third one, third Ape for filler Paiti. Pixel Gun Boy just mentioned it as well. Correct.
Wow, Sa Ape. Okay.
Correct.
Have you had any experiences with Tua and Diape?
Tua and Diape, yes. In fact, I had I was very privileged to be able to film a Tiao Tang, what's it called? Trancing. There was this person who called me up. In fact, it's on our Supernatural Confessions channel as well. You can go and Google up Tanki Confession. And he asked for permission, and he says, Eugene can film. So I went down, only me, and I filmed the whole trancing process. I even asked Tua Ape certain things. And in fact, it was by Di Ape's invitation that I went down, because quite frankly, prior to that incident, I was very afraid, at least optics-wise, of this whole underworld deity. Yep. And there have been like places at Bedok, Tangling, a lot of places with this Tua Di Ape home temple. They actually work out from the home. It's not a big temple. And all along, I said, okay, this is very scary. It only comes out at night and it's very dark and you're always slamming things and drinking alcohol and smoking. It looks to an untrained and uneducated mind, that looks very scary. So when I was invited to go down, I would admit that it was scary. The trancing process was him rocking on a chair, and it was loud, and he was a lot of grunting and grattle sound, and he carries the chain and he walks around, and it's all dark. They cannot have any lights on. And when I sat down, very open mind, and he told me things that no one would know. And the following week, when I brought down different people to see him, to those who needed help, he was spot on a lot of reading. Not just guessing, just not, those, you know, like when people come and tell you your fortune, sometimes it's very open-ended. This is down to specifics, down to numbers, down to things in the house, down to color, down to dates and time. At that point, I was sold. Yeah, but then what I realized about the Ape and Tua Ape is they are, although they are hell gods, they are not there to punish you. Consider them, and this is not my words, this is the words of the temple helpers. If you want to go and talk to Buddha, talk to Kuan Yin, it's like you want to go to MP and you want to ask for favor. So usually they don't reply you. But if you go down to your meet the MP session under the void deck, this is like the Tua Pek, the Ape. You ask for favor, they bring your message down and they get things done. They are not there to punish you. They are there to punish evil doers, so to speak, or bring people to the straight and narrow. So and I've also seen where the Ape would scold, reprimand someone sitting right in front of him because he already knew the answer.
Right.
And when he went off, I talked to him because I was doing a documentary. And he was like, yeah, I did this. I wanted forgiveness. But the appeal was like, F you, get out of my place. I was not going to help you at all, yeah.
Right. Mm. Wow. What about you, Eugene Au? What was your... Have you had any experiences with Guai Yape?
Not really. I think the only experience is, you know, my mother going asking about my grandfather, which is I will share later.
But teaser. No, I remember. Okay, so I remember, right? I also sat in on one of those trancing sessions, you know, right? And heard some of the advice that was dispensed, right? You know, and I was really fascinated by the Tanki himself, you know, because he showed that he explained that he was actually a Cisco guard, you know, by day, you know, and then Friday nights he comes here and he does this, and he's totally a clean living. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, but whenever he's in trance, that's what they like, right? Both by Yape are heavy drinking, chain smoking, you know, and so that's what he's doing the whole time. You know, he's drinking Hennessy, he's drinking black stout,
Mao,
you know,
and then he's... The Chinese point is Mao, I think Mao Tai or something.
You know, and then instead of offering like the usual, you know, kueh and all those, you know, biscuits and all that, right? They will offer him like fried chicken from the coffee shop around the corner. You know, it's basically everything that's unhealthy. But what was most remarkable was when we were there and we were observing, right? And this is connected to what you said also, right? He actually invited us to drink with him and offered us to smoke with him. So the followers went to the altar and took and opened the bottle. Yeah, you know, and I think that's wonderful, right? It's such a hospitable sort of, you know, social deity, right? You know, it's not one of those, you know, oh, I'm a god, you know, what are you, you know, mortal, you know, it's really just come, let's hang out.
So I just want to interject in very quickly, John, when you talk about that, it is a blessing to be able to drink with the Ape. And I was there with my brother. So again, I brought many people down, those who needed help. And the Ape was like, Eugene, sit down, come, pour him drink, and he still away drink. So I would take shots with him. No, you drink. So I drank and he offered my brother as well. But because my brother was just a guest, I was there almost as a, been there a few times. I took shots after shots after shots. I think about three or four back-to-back consecutive shots. And I said, Ziape, inside is it water? You bluff me one. Because I don't feel any buzz. I really don't, right? My brother... 1.5 shots, he's like, wow, okay, bro, I cannot take this. It's very strong. And I realized, because my brother's also a drinker. And he's younger than me by 8 years. So he can definitely drink better than I. And 1.5 glass, he says, I cannot drink, it's burning. And I'm like, four shots back to back.
That's crazy.
I did not feel anything. In fact, I asked him, is this water? So that was, to me, something that was verified by someone I know personally, not bullshitting, by my own taste buds, in a bottle that shared with three of us. So it's not as if another bottle comes in the pour. So that shit is real as far as I'm concerned.
So now your capacity to drink is sacred.
No, no. Without him around, then back to normal.
Back to normal. I mean, the profile that we're getting, right, of this hell deity is quite interesting, right? You know, and he seems to be someone that is concerned about the common man, right? Friendly and hospitable. So I can totally believe that those three masters would have offered this kind of deal. I would willingly accept. Yeah.
I want to ask one thing for Eugene Au and John to reply. This is asked by Anand, and it's also asked by the confessor himself. Usually when you have divine blessings from a god or deity, it doesn't come for free. Is there a price to be paid? If not now, maybe later, because he's only 33, 35 years old when he's telling me the story. His whole life is ahead of him. Is there a price to pay?
I think there are two ways of looking at it, right? For me, I feel that a large portion of the price has already been paid. You've already granted yourself to him as his godson.
But what does that mean?
Right? In Chinese culture, excuse me, when you're born to someone, you must do work, man. It's just a relation. You be loyal, you be filial as a godson. The relationship is the burden one. There's no extra. To become someone's godson, plus all the things that it will entail, right? Loyalty, obedience, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, there will be time when, you know, if Godfather asks you to do something, you do. But that's not because it's a burden or it's my duty. It's because I'm your godson, right? So, it's not in the Western sense of I do you a favor. It's not. You are family now. So everything in the future is not favor. It's not you owe me, I owe you. It's because we are family.
But there's loyalty, lah. I mean, if you're thinking from an Asian context, right? Family loyalty. Means loyalty.
Piety. It's piety. Yeah. So if you wanna think of it in terms of what the repercussions might be, yes, there might be favors in the future. You know, that's quite possible, right? We've heard of, for example, situations where hell deities have asked those people who, with the sight or have asked mediums to help to look after specific souls during 7 months.
Yeah.
Right? Because too many people running around, right? So you need agents. So he might, you know, every 7 months become a standby agent. You know, could be something simple as that. You know? Or maybe, I don't know, when, you know, in the time to come, you know, when it's his turn to move over into the other world, he may have a job to do.
Possibly. I think so. I don't think life gives you a get out of jail free card that way. You know, I mean, I really don't know yet. So maybe the confessor will get in touch with us in time to come and let us know if he like, oh shit, bro, the price is here. Actually, I'll ask you, sorry.
But I don't think of it as a price. That's the thing. I think of it as a relationship that has changed, right? And with that relationship comes a mutual sort of deal, right? You know, Godpa will look after you and you look after Godpa.
Okay, so one last question for Eugene Aon, right? Before we, what's your religion? I understand you were Christian, was it?
Buddhism.
Buddhism. So maybe Buddhism and Taoism not that far away. Would you in your ICU bed on the verge of potentially going to the other side, let's face it, die, and a deity likely come up to you and says, I'm making you a deal. Would you take that up?
I mean, maybe, man. I mean, because this kind of thing is very scary when you are about to pass away, you know, you want to take a duty. I think, let's say if, you know, in the duty of sense that we can actually protect someone or help someone, I think I would definitely take that role.
Even if what the price is not stated. It's like signing a blank check. You don't know what it will be in the future.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, we would got a hero in the house, guys.
Would you do it, Eugene Tay?
Previously, if I did not know about Tua Di Apit the way I do now, I would not, because I would ignorantly think that I'm making a pact with the devil back then.
Right?
Underworld, coming black, change, dragging. Dude, I'm not buying what you're selling. That would be before I knew what they were. But now understanding Tua Di Apit a lot better. At least there's a lot more to understand. But with my knowledge right now, I feel a lot more comfortable doing good, because Tua Di Apit has never asked anyone to do bad. So I can imagine if we remove the layer of religion out of the discussion, any entity, any dogma, any movement that asks you to do good is good in my eyes. Does that make sense?
I want to share this. So imagine Merlion saying, I got a deity godfather from my younger days. As you grow older, you tend to lose religious faith. One day, went to the religious fortune teller and he said, your godfather looking for you. Wow. So, you cannot ignore their calls, huh?
Hey, voila. Hey, who's your godfather in Magic Malayans? Let us know.
Yeah, please let us know, okay?
Please let us know, man.
No paper. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
I myself also have a god, Guan Yin.
Official.
Yep. Speaking of Guan Yin, can you all watch the 11:30 featured confession tonight? Because our confessor punched Guan Yin.
Oh my god.
So what's going to happen is your god Ma is going to ask you, Eugene, how to punch the guy back. Okay? Alright, there's a conspiracy starting to make sense. Yeah. Alright, so okay, since we are here talking about Eugene Au and his godfather, so okay, I'm very curious, right? Because okay, so Eugene is someone who has had many experiences with the supernatural, right? You know, just now I was asking you for a number, he cannot even count, you know. So I wanted to know, right, as someone who's experienced this, you know, throughout so much of your life, what was the first experience you had? Can you remember it? And how old were you?
I can't really remember how old I was when I started experience. I think I was quite young, maybe 8 or somewhere.
Okay.
So I think the first experience that I ever have is in my old house, which is in Bedok area.
Ooh.
So I saw someone climbing down a rubbish chute. If it's those for you, those are staying in HDB, I believe. Some is garbage is outside, but some it's inside. I think the old-fashioned one
is, inside the kitchen, right?
You have a drawer that you need to open up and, you know, pull up control. I saw actually someone climbing out there, climbing down the rubbish chute, you know, to like, you know, I mean, who... Let's say if it is a thief or something like that. Who will climb out of such a smelly place, man?
And cockroaches.
So Eugene will never do it. No, but as in, is it from your flat going in or what?
Going down.
Wow. Okay, at least going down and not coming out. Climbing
such a smelly thing, man? I won't do it myself, man.
I don't even think a human being can fit into that thing, right? It's quite small.
Unless that burger is very skinny, you know. Let's say if I am a thief, if I want to get away this one, I'll rather break a leg than, you know. to climb down this rubbish.
Okay. But at the time when you saw it, what did you think it was? Or can I remember? Were you thinking is that a person?
Because it was just a black shirt. It's a black shadow. As far as I can see.
Oh man.
I mean, for a fun fact, my old house was actually haunted.
Yes. Your old house was haunted.
By a lady. I believe it's by a lady ghost. This story was being tell me by my brother and my mom.
Okay. Your brother is older than you or younger than you?
Yes, he's older than me.
Okay.
He's around 28 this year.
Okay.
So actually what happened to him is that last time when my mom is so like to put out girls, you know, when younger they would like to do facials, you know, to make themselves pretty. Actually, when my brother ran in the bedroom, he thought it was my mom making facial and you know. But actually my mom was actually in the kitchen, you know, cooking or doing something. I'm not too sure. So actually when my brother hear my brother was talking to someone, which is impossible because the house is only me and my mom. My brother and my mom only there because my dad is out of the thing.
Right.
So he hear he was staring. I'm not sure if my mom saw the entity, but he keep hearing my brother say, "Hey, stop laughing, and then you know. Stop and laughing. I think the entity keep laughing, you know, and when my mom hear that, she immediately carry my brother out of the room immediately. Ooh. And I think, yeah,
it's the okay. What you were saying earlier, that it's like, was it a lady dressed in red or something?
I believe so, because I mean it's my brother's story, you know. I think when he was young, he also can't be very clear. But
okay,
what he described was a lady figure.
Wow. Okay. The laughing part freaks me out. You know, seeing them silent and just being there is already bad enough. But if they start laughing, if they start laughing, it's like, okay, what are you up to? Okay.
Wow. Which is why movies like Smile is freaky, because laughing and smiling when you're not supposed to is
It's very creepy. Yes, it's very creepy. Yeah. But
you know, even in the sense that, you know, dressing in the red, all Chinese believe they are here to, you know, revenge.
Is correct.
You know, it's not a good sense.
Yeah. So that laughter must be super meaningful, man. You know, it's vengeful laughter. I don't know what that means. So what happened? What did your mom do anything about it?
I think my mom called in someone to actually come and take a look at the house. I think remove whatever is over there. So
okay.
Yep.
So after that, peaceful lah.
Yeah. So So I think you can, whoever want to buy a new house, I believe y'all can. Whoever religion you believe, I think it's safe to call someone to take a look at the house, because you will never know what has happened to that house previously.
True.
Before you bought it.
True.
I have myself an experience that I think it wasn't very pleasant when I buy my before I bought this house.
The house that you're in
I
now.
I was looking at other house. Yes, I mean I was looking at other house.
Okay.
Before we saw this one and we bought this one. This was near. I mean, I'm not going to near Bedok, near Block 85 Market. I won't say it's which block.
Okay, in the neighborhood of 85 Market.
Yes, in the neighborhood.
Is it
what happened is that actually we went to a property, to see a lot of houses in a surrounding place.
Right.
So we went to see how this house, the agent was there, you know, the house owner and everything was there.
Mm.
So when we stepped into this house, it was in the middle of the day and it was very hot.
Mm.
So when I stepped in the living room, I feel not well, and you know, the living room was super cold. Only just the living room. We went into the bedroom, the kitchen. It was normal. It was hot. But once I walked into the living room, it was very cold.
Ayo.
After a while, I tell my mom, "Hey, y'all just take a look around first. I wait outside for you." Then after we come out, we bump into a mother friend, because my mom friend was selling clothes downstairs. And he went in. My mom said, hey, we are looking at this house. My mother friend told us the most creepy things that I think I can ever hear from someone.
What?
The house that we look at, someone actually hang there before. In the living room.
It's very okay. So, you know, like in horror movies, right, you know, whenever this happens, right, this in American films, right, then, you know, there's always the family will always go back to the real estate agent and go, "You didn't tell us," right? Then you are required by law to tell us, you know. And I wonder, whether do we have this law in Singapore to protect us? Are estate agents required to reveal the dark history of your HDB flat before they sell it to you? You know, if anyone knows out there whether there's such a law, please let us know. Okay, maybe we should write a petition and request this law to be put in place.
But if you're if I was a property agent, if you tell, you will know your this chance, you will never see.
Correct.
No one will buy this.
Yeah. Chance. So without the law, we will never know. Right, Eugene. Do you know if there's a law, Eugene Tay? Do you know if there's such a law?
No, I don't think it's there's an obligation to tell. But I know in Japan, you have to tell as well. You have to declare that this unit has a certain unfortunate incident. Mm. You have to declare. But I think Hong Kong
also. Mm. Yeah.
Not Singapore.
Oh, no.
But if there's any PropNex guy or any property agents out there, if you'd like to chime in on this conversation, please do let us know in the comment section. Are you obligated to tell the new owners the dark history of the place you're selling. Even better yet, if you have, as a property agent, have a place that you have sold or have experienced some stories we want to hear from you. We want to have a HDB property theme confession. Yes.
So KK Heng is saying that there is such a law in Taiwan, for sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Taiwan, Hong Kong, all right. Stigmatized properties. That's right. Right, Ree is right. Okay, they call it stigmatized. And in fact, there was a movie about it, and the movie was also quite stigmatized. So not one of my favorite movies. But yeah, but I think Singapore doesn't, huh? I'm curious.
Yep. I don't think
so. Okay, wait. Okay, so I remember just now you were telling another story about your new house. Right? About moving to your new house.
Yeah.
Please tell that one because this is my favorite story ever. Eugene, yeah, did you hear that just now?
I heard it, and that's why I said we should actually shelf the second confession and let this half an hour be a Eugene Owl's confession. Go ahead, Eugene.
All right, man.
So what happened on this is because my grandmother, because my grandfather passed away when I was very young. I mean, before I was born. So we started praying, you know, those sampai. If for those of you know, is sampai, you know what is that? Is we put our, those people have passed away in those area.
It's like an ancestral altar lah. That you keep in the house.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, because my grandmother is getting, you know, his age is getting older, so he don't want to have those, you know. She's getting old, so we decided, you know, to let bring out my grandfather, you know, to our house and start bringing ourselves.
Okay.
So, if for those of you don't know this, that you know, in Chinese, if you want to shift this kind of thing, no matter it's what I think you believe, you must. Bring someone is called those to let the whoever is in freely to in and out of the house because we have someone is called mention. If without any permission, no spirit can enter the house without the house owner permission.
Right.
Because when that few years my grandfather couldn't come in the house is actually a very sad thing when I hear it myself. And every time I hear a knock, like my name being called and everything, very a lot of strange thing, you know, happening outside my house. But every time I opened the door I opened the door, there was no one. At first I thought was, you know, someone pranking me and everything. But who would be so free to prank me almost every day, man?
Every day.
So, I mean, after sometimes my mom went to see someone. And you know, she just curiously see how is my grandfather doing, you know, this whole time. So he asked when my mom say that the person tell him actually my grandfather has been outside wandering for a few years. Because he couldn't enter our house. So when he actually shared this story to me, the sound that I hear, was it my grandfather? Yes, because I hear my name being called. Because inside belief that, you know, even your loved one had passed away, some people still know your name.
Yeah.
So maybe it's my grandfather trying to ask, say, I'm locked outside, couldn't come in. So
do something. Okay, I must say this is one of the most touching stories I've heard in a long time. I mean, I'm assuming it eventually you went and invited someone and then properly invited him. Okay, so happy ending. But wow, I tell you, to spend years and years knocking on the door, asking every day to come in is wow.
Eugene, I want to ask you, during those years that your grandfather was outside the house, allegedly, was the family having bad luck?
Not that I know of. I don't think so.
Because one of the tradition where we talk about worshipping, paying respect to the previous generation in Asian culture and Asian law is that if you don't please your ancestors, you will have bad luck, business-wise, health-wise, relationship-wise, and the entire family line. So I would consider your grandfather being locked out of the house would probably piss him off 10 ways a Sunday. And it should affect the family dynamics in some way if the law makes sense. If the law is true.
Okay. So I believe I know something about this. Mm. Right. So okay, it's a belief, but it is specific to the person. So the idea that okay, I mean, just talking about parents and grandparents, right? There are kind grandparents and then there are tough grandparents. And tough grandparents become tough spirits, and they will punish the family if you neglect them. Kindly grandparents do not suddenly become tough spirits.
Oh, the diary law? Because my mother is quite a mean-spirited person. That's it, lah.
Then better.
You know, my mother, Pranakan. Why? You never let me into the house. Yeah. This boy Chilaka.
Pranakan spirit is probably a whole other universe.
Other level.
Yeah, straight away wear red color and come and laugh at you.
Hey, Jim boy, no mercy. Why you never give me the good brand alcohol? Why you give me this cheapskate Chinese beer?
No mercy, no mercy. You know, no. But I think that's very true, right? You know, I think that the human nature of the person becomes the nature of the spirit. That's why not all spirits are malevolent. Not all spirits are, you know. And also, some spirits are stronger because they have strong emotions, right? Bad-tempered, you know, depressed spirits tend to be able to do things much more than calm spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so without knowing much about your grandpa, I imagine that your grandpa, when he lived, was quite a patient man.
No, my grandpa, all the Peranakan grandpas are very chill. Is the Peranakan baby is that not chill at all?
Hey, not your grandpa la, the other Eugene la. Right? Because I can imagine some grandpa, living grandfathers who would literally not bang on the door and make noise, who would just sit outside and wait and wait and knock and knock and knock. You know, a very humble kind of person, right? You know?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so he must have been quite a unique person, you know, quite a gentle person in life. Otherwise, you will have poltergeist really at home, you know?
Yeah, we were. A lot of strange things happening.
Someone is asking, RSVP by Grace is asking, why your grandparents always come back as moth, lizard, butterflies, or kachua? This one, Grace, you have to tune in next week. Because next week's confession is it comes back in other forms, featuring our guest, Matt Verkek from On The Fringe, who's also working. He doesn't want us to tell you guys where he's working because it's sensitive. And a government agency that deals with animals and mosquitoes and stuff. So we were talking about
that. That could be anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
So many government agencies.
Thank you. Okay,
sure.
And, sorry, one more thing. Chua Yilin, specifically, John, this is for you. Coffee for John, heart shape.
Wow, thank you very much.
Wow. It's the beard, is it? Yilin, it's the beard. You like the man with beard, is it?
Yeah.
That's it, I have to start growing it.
Because the coffee gets into the beard, so it's very exciting. The coffee lingers. Okay. Thank you very much, Yilin. Woo! Okay. Ooh. So next week is our insects episode.
Insects episode.
Okay.
Eugene, do you have any more for us? One more for us for the road, or should I go to something else?
I think I will share with y'all, I think, my most creepy experience that
I've experienced
in Taiwan. I think for me personally, it's the most creepy lah.
Okay.
So you went to overseas. Is somewhere in China.
Okay.
It was so because I was sleeping with my mom friend. So, you know, of course, as out of respect, you know, if you go overseas, you go to hotels or whatever, you know, you must knock out of respect to, you know, to enter before you say, hey, you know, I'm just here to stay for a few days, you know, and so on. So because I was helping my mom to do a bit of thing, so I actually walked slightly back. I didn't walk the front. So actually, my mom friend actually walked in in front.
Okay.
We stay at two different hotels for the fun, just to let you know.
Okay.
When we were second, so this thing was in the second hotel.
Okay.
So he didn't knock the door. He just stepped the cart and enter.
Okay.
I saw that with my own two eyes. I really have no, you know, I might have no, you know, something is going to go back. You know, I just calm myself and say, okay, lah, just, you know, if you are scared, you know, you can't stay in there. So I just calm myself, okay, just, you know, okay, nothing is going to happen.
Okay.
when I stepped in the room, I felt cold and I can smell a moldy smell. That is a first red flag for me. So I say, maybe they didn't clean so well, you know. I just trying to, you know, play whatever.
Trying to be rational. Okay.
Yeah. So because I believe if you scared or you sense them, you know, if they know, I think they will come even disturb you more. More than what you have lah. So what happened is actually we were lying down in our beds after shower. I mean, if that typically for guys, you know, if you're in a hotel room or if you're at home, usually you won't put on any shirts, you will just lie in the sofa in the bed, you know, chilling, watching TV, your phone or whatever. So actually we were lying down and all of a sudden we just felt our back is very red and itchy. When we look at the mirror, I think we saw some lines and, you know, we were red and everything. Then so after that, we just apply some medicine and we go to sleep. Before we go to sleep, I went into the toilet, you know, just not to have it, you know, I have to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet. So I went to the toilet after I come up, but at least I couldn't remember, did I close the door or not? After a few minutes, my mom friend is about to enter the toilet. But the toilet door was locked.
Huh?
Ask me, did I lock the door? I say, why would I lock the door? I mean, I was thinking in my mind, why would I lock the door? Because I know myself, we need to use the toilet. Right? So, he tried to fix, you know, we even called out the maintenance guy that, you know, telling us, hey, he come and fix the door. When he was fixing, he actually told us one thing. He had never experienced such a thing. He couldn't. He said, okay, never mind. Pack your things. I'll ask the front desk to change the room for you.
Okay.
When he say that, he cried one last time, the door prime open.
Okay.
And after that, I actually felt a very cold air rushing out from the room. Okay. Then the maintenance left. Okay, we went to sleep and everything. I wake up in the middle of the night. There was a clock. I remember it was midnight. I wake up in the middle of the night. I went to the toilet and pee. When I come out, I hear, you know, in the corridor, there is a lot of kids laughing and running. At first, you know, of course, when we just wake up, you know, our mind is a bit, you know,
confused. Okay.
Who let their kids run around at this time when we are trying to sleep? But when I think that a few minutes ago, when I just saw it's midnight. I know what was it. I just ran in bed and sleep. I don't want to think about it.
Okay. Laughing kids in corridors? No, absolute no. Yeah. Okay, terrible. Wow. Okay, first of all, I must say that you must be a very brave person, because after the incident where the toilet was locked and then the maintenance guy had to come up, I would never go into the toilet again. Okay? I'll be peeing out the window or pee into the waste paper basket. I'm not going in there again. What if the next time it gets locked, I'm inside, man? Okay?
you know, this is the one lesson, you know, been learned. You know, whoever you are, you believe or not believe, I think you don't have to knock out of respect. Like. This is what I believe.
Yeah, lots of comments have been supporting that. Okay, I think that's something which we have to, I think we should do a public service announcement to warn people to please knock no matter what, right? Just out of safety, you know. But wow, I tell you, I had a question that I'm thinking, right? What happens if you forget to knock? Is it too late or not? It's like, I'm back already, then like, oh shit, can I go out and pretend again?
I don't think so. I think this is before you tap your card.
Oh no, too late already. So please remember, guys, tap before you tap. Oh, okay, that's the slogan for you, okay? Tap before you tap.
Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info.
Thank you so much for the stories, Eugene. I mean, I'm sure there are like
several hundred more. Okay, so we will definitely take our time slowly getting them out of you. So our last confession of tonight, very exciting one. I like this one. I like it so much that I'm going to ask Eugene to read it so that I can listen.
The sexiest voice of Eugene, confessions.
Yeah. So he says, "All right, okay." So Eugene Te, self-proclaimed sexy voice, is going to read this one. Okay, what's it called?
It's called Near Death in Bali, Confessions by Ken Low. Ken Low is someone who I have met, and he has told me this story. I try to ask as much questions as I can, but this happened some time back, so he remembers the details quite hazily, but he's a very prolific storyteller. I'm going to share this story with you guys right now. Near Death in Bali. Okay. Confession by Ken Low, age 47. I was in Bali for a holiday with the boys from my army days. We knew each other as teenagers, but we kept in touch and saw each other grow to become men, husbands and fathers. We always talked about taking trips together, but you know how life is like. Once you are in a family man, you don't have time for anything else. One year led to another, and before we knew it, it has been 30 years. So we said, it's finally time to make that trip. What was supposed to be a Las Vegas was downright was sorry. What was supposed to be a Las Vegas was downgraded to Bali because we all needed to come back after the weekend anyway. And Bali was close enough and also offers a certain level of adventure. One of the highlights of the trip was the whitewater rafting. We were divided four to a raft and off we went. At the start of the trip, we were laughing and having a good time. But as the water got rougher, we were spun around and tossed. One of the raft must have collided into us at an angle because my raft got flipped all of a sudden and we were thrown overboard. I was immediately pulled under and tumbled in all directions. I couldn't tell which way was up or get a grip on anything. I remember I still had the sense to think this was it. I was going to drown. I can't tell you what happened next because I think I might have blacked out. The memory seems a bit hazy at this point. I only remember I was lifted out of the water, and when I could see again, I saw a very tall person with a kindly face. It was his dressing that got my attention. I can only describe it as not modern and tribal looking. He said to me, "It's not your time." And when I blinked again, I was in the wooded area. Above me was a large tree, and around it hung colourful ribbons. There were traditional Balinese offerings strewn around the tree. From where I was, I could hear the sound of river, and blindly walked towards the sound. I didn't know where I was or how everyone was doing, but I knew that if I followed the river, I should get to base camp. I heard noises further downstream and saw my friends and the guide searching in the water and around the area. I called out to them, and everyone was shocked, but happy to see me. I didn't think of it back then, but later on, when I was replaying the incident in my head, I cannot explain one key point that didn't make sense. How did I wake up so far from the river? My friends and I talked about the particular incident each time we meet. Till today, nobody could explain what happened. I can explain everything away, but not that. And for me, that's enough to convince me that whatever happened was 100% supernatural. Since everyone was safe and we didn't want to ruin the vacation with a scare, we carried on with our adventure. P.S. While on a hike on Mount Agung, we came to a large Hindu temple and I felt compelled to go in to take a look. One of the statues looks a lot like the man who saved me. And I was told that that statue belongs to Lord Shiva.
Okay, nice. So, nice. Okay, Eugene Ao, nice. What do you think?
I mean, I'm going to break it to two parts. I think the first part, you know, where you know you're going, when in that sense, you know, you felt you're going to die, you you won't remember anything. And same as me when I was first warded into the, when I was about to go to the surgery, I can't remember myself.
Right.
So I believe when, you know, when you, when you're in, when he's in the river, you know, he was being lunch now, whoever, I think saved him in a way.
Yeah.
I believe it's someone is trying, you know, to protect him, you know, because, you know, it's not his time yet.
Right.
In the sense of, you know, guidance. Because in every place that we go, especially his mountain, I believe have their own, you know, protective of someone.
Yeah, that, protector spirit.
Yes. So I think, let's say if you disrespect in over there, you get what you deserve. You know, if you are just having fun, you know, I believe some will save you, some will not.
Yeah.
So I believe whatever it's said, he encountered, I believe, is someone that really, I think, in a way, loves him, protect him, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first part. Then the second part?
So I think the second part is, he just, if he can't remember his thing, I don't want to remember myself, man. I don't want to remember. It would be very scary if you know what saved you. I think whoever, I don't want to remember.
Okay, Eugene, what do you think was going on?
Okay, so a few things jumped out at me in this particular confessions, right? Near-death encounter. And so I asked this confessor what was his religion. The same way I asked Eugene now. He replied me with a comment, but I feel that putting that answer into the confession would just invite a lot of other topics about religious war that is unnecessary. Simply put, he was not a follower of Shiva. He was nowhere close to being a follower of Shiva. That's not even close to his radar for his religion at all. So he had no idea prior to this incident who Shiva was. And then when he went on the water, he thought he was going to die. Next thing he knew, he was out there in the forest, somewhere deep into the forest, woke up under a tree. So a lot of this seems to tell me that, okay, if you close to drowning, you appear by the side of the bank, explainable. In the forest, under a tree, tough to explain. And then he said he walked down the river. So, okay, again, that, I think John and I, we have some differences on that. We can talk about it, but it, for me, that's not a clear-cut case that it's a supernatural thing or not. The distance from the bank to the tree was what gave me the idea that he was brought there, as opposed to him just being washed ashore.
Right.
And Bali is known to be very strong in their Hindu belief. And when he walked on Mount Agung, Mount Agung is a very sacred volcano, by the way, and he was compelled to go into a temple. So the question I asked him is, why are you going to the temple? Is it because you are tourists or anything? He's like, no, I mean, usually I go to the building of my faith. I would not think about going to this building, but that particular day, I felt compelled. It was a pool. And so I said, okay. And when he went in, he says, the thing he saw, and I'm going to show you the audience the picture, the statue of Lord Shiva. This is in the blue form. And there are some statues that are in not blue form like this. And he says, hey, that's the guy who rescued me. I recognize that guy. So to him, with no prior knowledge of Lord Shiva in Bali, being safe and found himself under a tree, to me, there's a lot of unexplainable parts in this particular story that lead me to believe, I think he had a divine intervention. And that's my take. What's yours, John? I know you had a different take on this one. I love to hear it.
I mean, I can totally believe that it was a divine intervention, right? Because it was the fact that the guide and the friends were still trying to save him, right? So clearly it was, you know, no one around there who had managed to rescue him, right? It was not a human rescuer, right? So it was someone who rescued him in secret, right? They didn't even let the rest know that he was safe, right? So that's one clue, you know? And then the fact that he woke up, I'm not so much surprised by how far he was, you know, from the water, but that he had to be under that tree, And that was significant, right? Because that tree, you know, was decorated and wrapped around, right? And so it was a sacred tree, right? So to me, it was the thing that inhabited that tree or you know, that the tree represented that saved him. To me, you know, that was what I sort of felt when I heard the story. And only at the end, when he mentioned the temple on Mount Agong, and then he mentioned recognizing Lord Shiva's face, then I thought, okay, I'm a bit confused now, all right? Because, you know, and this is me, okay. So now I'm in my logical sense, okay, right? I have two competing laws here, okay? So Eugene is right, that that the Hindu faith is strong, right? And that, you know, Shiva is you know, a big thing, right, in Bali. But at the same time, you know, it is the idea of a humbler, simpler sort of deity, right? A nature spirit, a protector spirit, like Eugene Au was saying, right? You know, someone regional. You know, some of them were mentioning in the comments a river deity, possible also, right? You know, someone who is perhaps connected to that tree. That, you know, that sees that tree as his holy tree or his shrine, you know. So not so big a deity, maybe because being aware that he's in Bali, right, you know, and seeing that, you know, because he's not I assume a strongly religious person enough to make this connection by his own reservoir of information, so he's just grabbing that impression and then another impression and they click. That can happen quite easily, you know, and quite naturally, right? You know, especially after a traumatizing experience, you know, you seek answers. I want to know who saved me, right? You know, Eugene doesn't want to know, but, you know, this guy wants to know, right? So if you want to know who saved him and you are sure that it must be someone kindly and supernatural. That said, okay, I must contradict myself. Because yeah. I was just looking around, and I don't know how many people have heard of this before, but Kalantaka, right? Kalantaka is an aspect of Shiva, who is known as the conqueror of time and death, and is often depicted fighting with the hell god Yama to save a being. So there is an aspect of Shiva that is someone who protects you if you are chosen from death. A lesser known aspect, but also known, right? So I don't know. But this is not something he would know. If you can find out whether he heard about this before, then I can see where the connection came, you know? Yeah. But yeah, but this is very interesting.
I like to believe the deity saved him. And if for nothing else, it gives him, the survivor, a new sense of worthiness. You get what I mean? Like, if I were to die and a god of that level saved me, whether it's true or not, but in my psyche, that big three, one of the big three saved me. Shiva came down to save me. Christ came down to touch me. The bearded man as depicted in Passion of the Christ. Whatever the truth is, but I believe that I was touched by God, it's going to change my entire life from that point on. I now believe that a random nature spirit saved me. You know, not that I'm not thankful, okay, but again, you know, the level of pangkat in there.
Okay, but you see, there's a difference between saved from death, right? I.e., like you know, the other aspect of Lord Shiva, right? That literally will fight Yama, the king of hell, to snatch your soul, versus a spirit who says it's not your time to die. In other words, he's not saving you. He's sticking to the rules, right? You are drowning in my river. I checked the record. Not supposed to die there today in my river. I better stop you from dying or else I have to answer, man. Okay, so why did this person die wrongly? And why did you allow it to happen?
I mean, so the only reason I didn't die is because I'm an inconvenience to your book record keeping.
No, hey, la, no, hello!
is you kanchong to die lah, right? Nobody asked you to fall out of the raft at that moment.
Oh, lah. Hey, if I tell this to Ken, sorry, like, you're not touched by God, like, you're just an inconvenience to the nature spirit who has to answer for your death.
I think that we must also believe that the supernatural has a system and a schedule to follow.
Yeah, lah, they
okay?
got law.
It is not random one, okay? Mm. And only the very strong deities can break the pattern. Right, this is not a case of a super deity breaking the pattern to save your life. It is a smaller deity sticking to the pattern despite your mishap. Okay, don't know your friend the rough bump you his fault, okay, but whatever it is, we're back on track now.
That's right. For demotivational speaking, please approach Jonathan Lim. You are not special, my friend.
It's called para-motivation. Okay.
Eugene, what's your take? Okay, sorry, okay. Man. Eugene, sorry. You heard
okay,
both.
But back to Eugene now. Yeah, which one do you think? Is it do you think it's a big God saving him or a small God keeping things on track?
I believe it's small God keeping you.
Alright! Yeah! Must be the nature spirit. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
That's why Rice says, Eugene, so ungrateful. But Ju Chong says, no one is special.
Yeah, you cannot have two Eugenes on the same side, all right? So it's only fair. Okay? Yeah.
I just read in the comment section. Very interesting. Even deities are not to interfere in a person's karma or fate unless a higher force allows it.
Mr. David says it's just not his time to go. Big man up there already knows this is gonna happen, so he sent his guys to help out. maybe. So both upstairs and downstairs are engaged in this. Okay?
Wasai is a traitor. He says, John makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
RSVP by Grace says, hey, it's like, hey, you want to die, go far away. Lah. Don't come to dirty my rib.
That's also very true. Protectiveness and territorialism. Yeah.
I like this. Downey Darwin AJC says, Jonathan spoil program.
Okay, but today, thank you very much, okay, Eugene Au, for bringing us so many new confessions. Okay, and also for choosing the right side. Yeah.
That's it. What right side? Yeah. Eugene, later you and I have a 1-on-1.
Any final words for our audience, Eugene Au?
It's really a great honor to be a guest in Supernatural. I really hope maybe in the future I can be one of the guests again.
Yeah.
So really hope to see y'all again very soon. I mean, of course, I will be, you know, watching Supernatural just like y'all every time. But really hope to be back here one day. I believe I will.
You got 100 over confessions, right? Sure, I will be.
Yeah, you will be here 100 over times. Okay, don't worry. Okay, thank you very much, Eugene. Now,
okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Bye, guys.
See you soon.
Amazing episode.
Yes. Okay. With people shifting sides like crazy, I love it.
What's this, man? What's this?
What is?
Never mind.
This?
I need to get Belinda to come back. Where's my Abba? Abba is like, must be the hantu.
Yeah, when Belinda come here, I also join her side. Lah, okay? so it's all, this is a season of shifting loyalties. Yeah, okay, man. You'll never know. All right, next week, Eugene will be Team Rational. Okay, we don't know. All right, you don't know. Okay.
Wow.
It's been a good session.
Just want to thank ZP Matt that just transferred $11.99 over to us, Euro.
Thank Euro you. Some more. Yeah. Yes, please.
Coffee in Germany, very expensive. Thank you so much once again for joining us. My name is Eugene, that guy with the QC cat. John Lee.
Take care of yourselves, everybody. And remember, it must be the deity.
Well, my parting words is the greatest trick that the devil has ever pulled is convince you that he doesn't exist. So if you don't believe in the supernatural, ladies and gentlemen, devil has you. Good night, everybody. I'll see you guys next week.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.